welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topic surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so once again, God has given us another day, which draws us closer to the time when our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and he will take over. And we live in a time where our country is in chaos. I mean, everybody, the Bible says in the Old Testament, everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. And so people make up religions, people make up religious ideas in politics. They follow the same thing. Doesn't matter much what the law says. As long as you got the power, you do about anything you want to. And so it's just it's a wild, chaotic time. But the answers for the problems that the United States has and the answers for personal problems, the answers for our life is found in the Bible. And one of the things is now at the rate we're going to be $1,600,000,000,000 deeper in debt after this year. We're going to spend that much more than we take in. And yet the Bible has an answer for everything. And the family is to take care of one another. And that's one of the answers to all this overspending. It's not the government offering all kinds of programs, but it's the family helping one another. But that answer is found in the Word of God. And this program is dedicated to upholding the Word of God, and particularly the true Word of God, which is the King James Bible. And so today we're going to be talking about a verse found in Isaiah 59, verse 20 and 21. And it's a very interesting verse, but I want to talk about the details of this verse. Now, it says in verse 20, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." Now, the Redeemer refers to this fact that if you build something and it belongs to you and you lose it, you can go and redeem it with money. I mean, somebody else may have got control of it, may have bought it, but it's possible that you buy it back. If you buy something back that belong to you, that's called, you are then the redeemer of that particular product. Now, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if a person gets so deeply in debt that they cannot pay, and they are sold into slavery, one of their relatives who is wealthy can pay the price for that slave, and the person that owns you has to let you go because the price that they paid was paid by somebody else who is a relative of yours. And so God Almighty became a relative of us. He became a man, and he paid the price for our sins to bring him back to himself. He created us in the beginning, but we are separated from him by sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The penalty and punishment for our sin is death, and that includes hell and God's judgment. But Jesus Christ was the creator, redeemer. He took on the body of a man, and so he is related to us. He is a man, and yet he is Almighty God. And God took on a body, and he paid the price for our enslavement to sin and for also the curse of the law. You know, the law has a curse on us if we sin. The Bible says, "Cursed is everyone that confirmeth not to do according to all that is written in the book of the law." The law of Moses said that. If you don't do it all, then you have not upheld it. And everyone, the Bible says, has sinned. All have sinned. And these are verses quoted in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. And so the payment of our sin, the curse of the law, separates us from God, brings us death and hell. But the Lord Jesus became a curse for us. The Bible says, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And he paid the price for our sin. So therefore, we are no longer under the curse of the law. He has died in our stead. He has been punished in our place. And so we can go free from that curse, and we're free to love God, to live for God, and to become one of God's children and enjoy Him. And the Bible says, your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more. Now, the Redeemer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, He shall come to Zion. Now, He came one time, and that was 2,000 years ago He came. And He died for our sins then. But Jesus is coming again. And He is going to rule from Mount Zion. The Bible is very, very clear over that. And He's going to rule over the whole world. And the time for His coming is drawing close. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. So He's talking to the Jews. And He's going to rule over those that pay the that have turned from their sins. So we, to go to heaven, we repent of our sins. That's where we're willing to turn from our sin, recognize Jesus as our personal Lord. That means He has the right to tell us what to do. And our God and our Savior is called the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord means He's God, and He is the authority of our life. Jesus means Savior. He has paid for our sins, and He will guarantee us that when we accept Him, that we will go to heaven. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and He said, I've lost none of my sheep. Millions of people have been saved over the years, but Jesus never lost any of them, and He said that. And it says, but there is repentance involved in turning to Him. Jesus said, preach repentance and remission of sins. Repentance means you're no longer going to do it your way. You're going to do it His way. And John the Baptist said he preached repent and do works meet for repentance. It's not our works that save us, but if we've repented, we do works that follow. Paul the Apostle said he preached repent and do works meet for repentance. And this was the Apostle Paul that wrote half the New Testament. So it's recognizing Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life. Now it says, those that turn from transgression, that sin in Jacob, saith the Lord. So this is a passage particularly referring to Israel. So there's an army of people who say God is through with the Jews. Well, Jacob is a name for the Jews. And so it says that He is doing this for Jacob. And so all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from the Tanakh to the New Testament, it teaches that God has a future for the Jews. It astounds me what people believe today in the books you can read. I read one fellow that's on the radio every day, and in his book he says God is through with the Jews. Jesus said that when He comes back, He said the 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes of Jacob. I don't know how he deals with that passage and all the other passages in the Bible. So Israel has come back to the land, and back in the land they're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And it states this in Zechariah chapter 12. He says, I'll pour out my spirit upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And God wrote the Bible, and Jesus Christ wrote the Bible. And it says they will see Him whom they have pierced. Now, it says here in this verse, saith the Lord. Now, here's the covenant that He made with Jacob, and it deals with the what this program is all about. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, God gave His words, and people today teach, well, God preserved the Bible in His thoughts and His messages, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God says He preserves His words. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible says, with men of other tongues will I speak to this people. And on the day of Pentecost, they spoke with other tongues. That means other languages. People heard them in other languages. And God knows the English language. He made all languages. And so He said He would preserve His words. And so He tells us here where He's preserved them, and He's told us this in many places. In one place, it says that Ezra, or one of the people that found the Bible in the house of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and church is the house of God, and that is the local assembly of believers. And so you will find the true word of God where you have people believing in the Bible, believing in Christianity, not just professing to believe it, but believing in it. And so the Bible has been preserved in the local churches right from the time of Christ all the way till this day, and it's called the Authorized King James Bible. Now, he says here, "My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth." Jesus, the last statement he makes is that no one is to correct, no one is to change, add, or subtract from his words. And he offers a curse to them that do that. And so the words are important. And here he tells us that the Jews will always have the words of God. And so we want a Bible that the Jew, based on the Jewish Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew text. The Bible says the oracles of God come from the Jews. Well, we'll take a short break right now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Jewish text and its relationship to the King James Bible.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
I would suggest if you're interested in what the announcement I'm going to make, you might look for your pen, and I'm going to give you the phone numbers and that you can call in. And if you would like this information, we offer it to you free, and we will send it out. You won't even have to pay the postage, because we want to get this message out. There's a lot of tremendous books that have been written with the help of many dedicated Christians all over the world. And I have one right here that written by Mrs. Gail Ripplinger, who was a professor at Kent State University. And when I read the things that she has said, it's amazing to me, because she has done so much massive work in writing this information. And she gives credit to other people that have also helped her, scholars in a number of different universities, well-known universities around the world. And she has a book here dealing with what we're talking about today, because we're going to talk about the relationship to the King James Bible with the Hebrew text. Now, in this, God said that he had a covenant with Jacob, and that is he would give Jacob, Israel, his words, and they would always have the true words of God. So just as you have counterfeit Bibles in the New Testament, you have them in the Old. And I have a book, it's over 1,000 pages, written by Mrs. Ripplinger. And in this book, it goes into the thinking and to the life and to the very statements which are quoted of many of the well-known Greek and Hebrew textual writers. Many of these are not saved, and some of them have followed the thinking of unsaved people. Some of the Christians, and in our evangelical schools today, many of them have followed a false lead, particularly the Greek teachers. Now, a lot of the Hebrew teachers seem to be teaching something that is closer to the truth, but particularly the Greek teachers. And many of these universities, most of them have individuals that have researched this and have written books defending the King James Bible. For instance, Mr. Wiest of Moody Bible Institute, he has followed some of the very liberal writers and thinkers, and I would not recommend him. However, and I'm using this as an example, Dr. Martin of Moody Bible Institute has written a book on this subject that defends the King James Bible. And this book that I have of over 1,000 pages, it's almost like an encyclopedia. And it's well outlined so that you can find information dealing with the individual Greek professors and Hebrew professors. Now, outside of this book, it would be difficult to find out some information on these people, but she has it all right here. And I think books are being written out today or using this information that she has put out. This book is called Hazardous Materials. And if you would like a paper that we send out every week that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been eliminated from the modern versions, and it gives the reference so you can check it for yourself. We will also send you a brochure describing this book's hazardous materials and Greek and Hebrew study dangers, the voice of strangers, that is, people that are not saved, that have influenced the modern versions of the Bible. And so we're not going to send you the book. It's 1,000 pages, rather expensive, but we'll send you a brochure on it. It'll go into some detail on this book. So the number to call is 901-0933, 901-0933. And if you call that number, and I'd suggest you call before the end of the program. Now, I'll always be glad to talk to you at the end, but we have been getting so many calls in the last few weeks that the engineer cannot get them all down. And so also, if you call, stay on the line. We're not going to stay on the line a long time like some places. Now, also, a toll-free number, this is long distance, is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And we will send you a brochure that goes into detail on what this book teaches. So if you would like this, and I think that you Christians need to be informed, and you would like a paper that shows that you could take this paper and copy it and give it out, that throws Jesus out of the modern versions in most places. All right, we're going to get back to our text, and our text is Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. And he says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth." So the Spirit of God is connected with the words. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why you ought to read your Bible every day. You know, there's so many false teachings out there today, and I mean, even taught in Christian churches. And I'll tell you how to deal with that, and that is simply read the Bible systematically. I mean, once you if you haven't done it before, start in Matthew, read Matthew 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and so on, all the way through Revelation, then go back to Genesis and read it all the way through, and read it every day. And when you read it two or three times. That's the simplest way of studying. I do that. I try to read it every day and read those chapters sometimes three times, sometimes even four times. And by doing this, you'll start remembering. And when somebody teaches you something false, the truth will come to your mind. That's how I got into it. It wasn't reading somebody else's book on this King James Bible, but it was reading the Bible that God started to show me things. And all over the world today, people that have been reading the Bible have rejected what they have been taught in their seminaries and colleges because of what the Bible said. Now, God said here, first of all, he would keep the words. That's why today we ought to believe we have a Bible that is true. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." Just today, I heard somebody on television, and they corrected the King James Bible, and I know they did it with Weiss because they mentioned his name. They'll say, "This shouldn't be in the translation." Really? You know, the guys that translated, first of all, they used the right text. Secondly, there was 47 of them, and they went over every single word at least 15 times. And most of these fellows that had translated that thing, they were reading, writing, and talking the Greek language before they even went to college. Why would you reject and say that the King James is wrong with what one person says or one Greek teacher says? And a lot of times he got his information from people that are not believers in Christ. Do you know that what we think is based on our heart? The Bible says that out of the heart are the issues of life. You see, people like a Greek teacher like Thayer, for instance, he fought all his life against Jesus being God. And his intellect was messed up by his heart. And people think what their heart wants them to think and what their heart wants them to believe. So today, in the evangelical schools, they're they're basing their thinking and philosophy on what unsaved people are saying. I might say that in the New Testament, over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts back up the King James Bible. And in this book, Hazardous Materials, that I'm announcing today, you could send for this, and it'll give you all the information in this brochure, but it goes into what many of the famous Greek teachers believed and taught. Now, I'm not saying they were all unsaved, but it tells you the information, and the Bible says that we shouldn't be fools, but we should believe God's word. You know, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Do you ever notice Jesus never corrected the Bible? He said, "It is written." And people sometimes that even use the King James, they correct it. With what? Because Dr. We said so? And no. We're supposed to believe that God preserved it. Now he says, my words, they're not the words of men, but my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. That is, the Jewish people will have the very words of God. Someone has written that in the Dead Sea Scrolls, part of them, I think, is Isaiah 8 and B, they compared it with the Hebrew Masoretic text. And the true text that has come down to us is the Masoretic text, and it's found in the Bomberg edition. And the King James Bible translates from the Bomberg edition, which is the one that has come down to us like God has promised, and says, "Not out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." He says the Jewish people always have it, and it says it will be forever. You know, in the 19th century, one of the Jewish societies said that the King James Bible could never be superseded. One person was witnessing to a Jewish man that I had just read about recently, and he became a believer in Jesus. And the Jewish man says, "Well, your Bible is not right. They've changed it." And he knew the Hebrew. So he's looking in his Hebrew Bible, and then he's looking at the King James and his Jewish translation into English. He said it wasn't as literal and it wasn't as clear based on the Hebrew as the King James was. And that was something that impressed him. And furthermore, God said he would be involved in it. The Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's a living thing. And it has the DNA of God Almighty in it, and it's found in our authorized King James Bible, which is based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. I think in the next few weeks we'll be talking about some of the corrupt Hebrew texts and some of the corruptors of it, and we'll go into that. I had a professor who was on the New International Version, and I had the opportunity to discuss the sources of it, where it came from, and so on. And so, we're so glad that you tuned in. If you are interested in a brochure on this book, the number is 901-0933, 901-0933. Stay on the line. Sometimes we've had four lines busy. And we'll get your address and we'll send it to you for free. And you can learn some interesting facts. The long distance, 888-677-9673. The local one, 901-0933. Well, God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.